Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, it's Denise Eckert from the Relaxation Lounge. And I love bringing you information to help you reduce the stress in your life. And today I've got Emmanuel Anthony, who is a researcher, writer, teacher, inspirational speaker, DeMartini facilitator, and consultant. What he does is he helps clients globally to overcome mental disorders, common challenges, helps them achieve their goals, expand human awareness, maximize human potential, gain clarity on their mission, and lead highly inspiring lives within all areas of their life. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Hello, and welcome to everybody on the podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, before we get started, can you give us a little bit about your background and how you got onto this mission?
Yes, I most certainly can. So when I was approximately 4 years old, I moved to Australia. Not by myself, my family took me. And I grew up, I was originally from Madrid, which is a very small, at the time, a third world country. Today, it's grown up a little bit since then, but it was very kind of old school. And we came to Australia, I spoke fluent French and not a lot of English. So one of my first challenges was learning how to communicate. I really wanted to socialize with the other kids, but I didn't know how to socialize with the other kids. So growing up, I felt that I was kind of a couple of steps behind as I was coming into Australia. And that was something that really kind of ate away at me. At the same time, I had a lot of challenges with my father. Growing up in a very different society, if you said something that upset him, you just get a good old smacking. But it was a good smacker. Definitely wasn't a soft one. So I had a lot of challenges in the inner world, a lot of challenges with my family, a lot of challenges at school because I was bullied and picked on. And I started to realize that if I didn't learn how to not only increase my resilience, but set goals and actually achieve them as early as grade 2 or 3, that I wasn't going to be able to do anything with my life. And I couldn't escape the challenges because it wasn't like I could just leave school and come home. I had just as many challenges at home as I had at school. Plus, our family didn't have a lot of wealth at that particular point in time. So as I grew up, I consistently wanted to find ways in which I could not only grow and evolve, but master different areas of my life. So as a kid, I used to mimic other children. Whatever they did, I did. I didn't speak really great English, but your other senses really come alive and one of them feels. So for me, it was verbally that I couldn't communicate. So I didn't realize at the time, but that was me starting to learn human behavior. Today, that's something that I've done for over 11 years with thousands of clients. By the time I got through to high school, I figured out how to become socially empowered. I was one of the more popular kids at school, which was interesting because I was one of the least popular in primary school. So it definitely turned around. And then as I left high school, I started doing doors and nightclubs and sports modeling and bodybuilding. So I felt I had the social realm taken care of. And the other areas of life were slowly climbing up. But this area of mental wellness and well-being, I still hadn't figured that out yet. And the more popular I got and the faster that occurred, I realized that some things were popping up, some shadows, some things in my past. And if I didn't resolve those, they were going to come out very publicly. So I started attending workshops and I went and saw Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, anybody I could when I first started because I didn't have a lot of money and I was just starting in the field. And then eventually I met a gentleman by the name of Dr. John DeMartini. And he said that he would be able to help you through a method he had. This was just at a one-day talk, dissolve any emotions you had towards anybody within your life. Now, I had a lot of pent-up emotions towards my father and an ex-girlfriend I dated for about 3 or 4 years that had cheated on me when we broke up. And I never let go of both of those, and I knew they were front and center in things that were driving my life. So I attended this workshop. I had no clue how I was going to pay for it. It was definitely out of the budget of what I was used to budgeting for at that period. But I attended this workshop, and the workshop was about 22 days, so Saturday and Sunday. So you could say it's a 24 hours, it's almost like 12 hours each day. But really, it was the the massive part of the work that was done was in about a 6-hour period when I completed the Demartini method and learned how to do it that day and dissolved 26 years worth of baggage towards my father. And I looked for it. I remember doing this workshop thinking there's 100 other people here. I'm learning a technique. This can't be happening. This 26 years worth of baggage. And I'm trying to go to the most charged moments that I had of my father that created the greatest degree of stress in my life. And there's nothing but thank you and I love you. I was in charge of my emotions. My emotions weren't running me. And no matter how much I pushed, I couldn't find them. I haven't been able to find them since. I'm 37 today, so it's 11 years later. The minute that occurred, I had this epiphany. Everything around me went soft. I looked on the stage, and as I looked at Dr. John Demartini, I realized this is what I was meant to be doing in my life. I was meant to be researching, writing, teaching, and sharing my most inspired vision with humanity. And that's kind of what got me to where I am today.
Wonderful. And you know what? I grew up in a very multicultural society, and a lot of the children I went to school with, I mean, it was very multicultural. Like, it was Italian, it was Portuguese, it was German, it was Chinese. So every child spoke a different language. Yeah, trying to converse and communicate in all these different languages was quite challenging and very frustrating at times.
Yeah. And that's Australia. Interestingly enough, for any of your viewers on the podcast that are not aware of Australia's culture, we opened up for immigration, and that's how we've created our culture. So a lot of people think if you come to Australia, it's the g'day, mate, how you do it. That's like your common thing. We do kind of have a lot of those slangs. It doesn't matter what background you come from. It's one of the things you pick up on straight away. But if you were to walk down the road here, you would find like an Indian restaurant, an Italian restaurant, and it literally is just a melting pot of every single nationality when I went to school. And it's the same with each part, unless you go to a really rural part of where, you know, there's maybe only minimal people within a small country town. Most of Australia is like taking everything in the world and putting it here. It's one of the most unique places I've ever been to, like that I've traveled around the world. But yes, so I can definitely resonate with what you're saying.
But can you talk a little bit about anxiety? Because to be honest with you, I've never experienced anxiety until last year. And I have a lot of friends that struggle with it. And I'm like, yeah, I couldn't relate. And then I had a couple anxiety attacks. And I'm like, wow.
nothing, can be really nothing like an anxiety attack to go, oh, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. So can you talk a little bit about anxiety?
I most certainly can. So every human being within their lives would have experienced some level of anxiety, you know, whether it's a small degree to a higher degree. It's a perfectly normal human emotion. But having said that, we don't want to just embrace it. We want to have some kind of way where we can overcome it. Otherwise, something that should be a temporary feedback system can become a lifestyle and a habit. And quite often that can change and alter the way that we see and perceive life. Because I've worked with people that have just started experiencing anxiety or had minor anxiety, all the way through to people that won't even leave the house because of things that they're so anxious of. And by the way, if you start off with a little bit of anxiety, the symptom may be just called not feeling well. As you start to get a little bit more anxious, you'll actually label it as anxiety. As you start to move further down that track, you may call that a post-traumatic stress disorder because you're anxious of something happening again, and the labels get bigger. But we're all talking about the same thing. So let me start off by firstly defining what anxiety is, because by understanding its definition, we move one step closer to understanding what it is that we can do. Because in the last 11 years, I've worked with clients and we haven't had one client that we haven't been able to, and that's thousands of clients, dissolve anxiety 100% and completely that hasn't followed the proper methodologies. So we experience anxiety as a feedback mechanism because we have two parts of our minds. We have multiple parts of the mind, but two that I want to specifically speak about. We have an amygdala, which is an animal part of our mind. This is not a good or a bad part of our mind because if something was to occur during the day, it's very testosterone driven, it's very hyped, it's pumped. It wants to make sure it protects us for the day, just like we needed that a very, very long time ago. But today, sometimes some of the things that we utilize the amygdala for are not necessary. Stresses within the work, for example, are very different from stresses from a tiger or a lion coming to attack you, which is what it was originally created for. It was meant for small bursts because what it does is it toughens the muscle fibers. It opens up the pupils so you can dilate them so you can see more. And releases certain chemicals and hormones like adrenaline. So if you've ever had a fight with a younger sibling or something like that growing up, and later on somebody said, hey, you're cut on the arm, and you, how did I not notice that? It's because the adrenaline running through your body, it's optimizing human potential for the fight or flight. It's getting you ready to take on an attack. So if you stimulate that part of you utilizing the amygdala, which only sees black and white, it looks for something that's positive and looks to avoid something that's negative, but can't see the balance. Now, there's a second part of the mind, a much more evolved part of the mind, something we've evolved throughout time, and that's called the forebrain. And the forebrain has greater levels of wisdom and can see both sides of anything that's occurring within our lives. This is the part that you want to operate on if you want to have mastery within all areas of your life. As we're going through life, we see and perceive things that are going around us. Doesn't mean we see them as it is. All you have to do is ask two or three people in a family dynamic what occurred at any moment, and they'll give you two or three different opinions. But as we see and perceive things, at times the amygdala kicks in and it'll separate in our perceptions what it is that occurred, because there's always a trigger that causes anxiety and then we get scared of that happening again in the future. So what it'll do is it'll make something extremely positive, an infatuation, and make something extremely negative, which is a resentment. So if I look in a relationship, somebody may say, I'm anxious of my partner leaving me. Therefore, the infatuation, my partner in my life, is all positive. And the resentment, my partner leaving me, would be all negative. Now, the truth of the matter is that the higher part of the mind can see that there are both benefits and drawbacks for each. And if we could see that, activate that higher part of the mind, then we have that ability to bring balance to our mind and our perceptions. But if not, we live within the amygdala. Now, perception, now anxiety is towards the future. So we're future pacing. We're setting up things that have not occurred. It's within our imagination. It's never real. We experience the symptoms, the anxiety of adrenaline running through our heart, etc., because each emotion goes through a different organ, but it hasn't occurred yet. So we're just playing a kind of fantasy, a nightmare game, and bouncing between the two. But until we pop those two, we can't actually dissolve that. Now, interestingly enough, while we're on the topic, depression's actually the opposite side. So imagine anxiety as being towards the future, depression's in the past. Things that have occurred within the past that you were comparing it to a positive that you wish had occurred and a negative that you're resenting did occur. As you do that, then you have a depression. But both of those affect you in the present, because once again, we're playing a game within our mind. And because neither one of those has occurred and both of them has benefits and drawbacks, that's what I love about working with clients, because the minute we can learn how to teach our mind how to see both sides of whatever's occurring, and we will in the future anyway, because we know we can get the wisdom of the ages with the aging process. That's where in 5, 10, 15 years later, you go, oh, it's not as bad as I thought, and you eventually move on. The key is to learn how to get the wisdom of the ages about the aging process, to be able to do that today and in a way that empowers you, so you get those, that wisdom and the learnings that you get in the future, and be able to access that and take action and create change in your life. So during this COVID period, a lot of people have been highly anxious, projecting into the future possibilities of what they're infatuated and addicted with, things that they're resenting and not wanting to occur, bouncing between those two. And the ratio of your perceptions, meaning how much you're exaggerating either side, that actually determines how much of a symptom you experience within your body. So in other words, how much anxiety.
Just a quick break, because I need to share this with you. In the past, I had a lot of pain in my shoulder, my knees, my ankle, and I know it's from my background of playing baseball. I used to be a carpenter, from driving, and even working on my computer. I tried everything, and still I'd be on the couch with my heating pad in pain. Well, lately a friend introduced me to a new product called NutraSwish. Things changed for me. I'm not kidding you, within days, no pain. And now I've been taking it for a few months, and what a difference. NutraSwish is all about glutathione. I didn't even know what glutathione was. Well, you know what? I sure do now. If you are experiencing pain, especially nerve damage, I encourage you to take a look. You can find out more in the show notes or go to www.therelaxationlounge.info, and there's a tab above that says pain. Back to the show. Now, when someone is experiencing anxiety, what are some of the steps that they can take to overcome anxiety?
Yeah, it's a great question. So one of the first things that you want to do is acknowledge that you're experiencing anxiety, and secondly, acknowledge that it's perfectly normal. Every human being, once again, experiences that to one degree or another. Nobody lives in a state of constant balance. I've been teaching my students for 11 years how to create balance within their lives. And even myself, I notice that I get that feedback. So it's a feedback, and it's literally that. The reason the body gives that feedback, by the way, whenever you go to extremes in your perceptions and you start to feel that your heart's racing a little bit too much, the body wants to protect itself. So whether it's in business, whether that's in your relationship, to the seven areas of mastery, physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family, but wherever that imbalanced perception is, you'll get that feedback psychologically within the mind and physiologically. So your thoughts and your feelings, and they're just feedbacks. The more that you can't get it out of your mind or body, the greater the level of brain noise, we call it. That means the greater the feedback. So the next thing you want to do is you want to ask yourself, how much feedback is this giving to me? Because when I'm working with clients, I'll tell them you've got a low, medium, and high level of feedback. A low level of feedback, you may be driving, something slightly irritates you, you've got an emotional response, but by the time you get there, you forget about it. You never really think about it again. That's a low response. For that, you can do that within your mind. But anything that's medium or high would be the equivalent to if you got a cut on your hand or something, most certainly put a Band-Aid on for a small cut. But a medium or high is your arm's been chopped off and it's hanging. You don't put Band-Aids on that. You need to get some serious help with that. And so anything that's medium or high, medium is starting to really create some disruption. Now you're starting to feel you're a little anxious more and more during the day, and highly anxious, you can't do anything without it. You wake up feeling that, you have trouble going to bed. They're the high, the medium and the high. For the medium and the high, I recommend applying the DeMartini method. In $300,000 worth of study, this has been the most powerful thing that I've been able to apply with my students. And there's two things that you need to learn how to do. I specialize in teaching these, but since we're here, I'll give you some basic fundamentals, a crash course. The first thing that we need to do is take the infatuation and the fantasy that we're addicted to and bring that back down and see the drawbacks in it. So I've taken people where they've been saying COVID. They've said, I'm going to lose my job. Oh my God, that's such a negative thing. I'm relying on this. And I've taken the seven areas of life and asked them to work with me and find 15 benefits in each. And at start, they say, I can't find any, because their mind is so polarized and on what you think you feel. So the polarization of their mind through the central nervous system is creating the symptoms in their autonomic nervous system. But for a little bit of work, they say, well, actually, I've got a great payout, and that payout is going to help me finally work on some things in the house that my wife has been kicking my butt to do. And then I'm going to spend some more time with my children. And to be honest, I don't actually really like my job. I've always just kind of been really secure in my job, but now I have some time to study other things that are much more inspiring and fulfilling. And I've always wanted to do something that I love and, you know, try and teach my kids how to do that. So what else? And they said, well, my parents aren't doing too well, and this will give me some time to actually spend with them. And as we start to stack up the benefits in all areas, especially financial with COVID, all of a sudden I notice the person goes from an anxious persona on the phone or video call all of a sudden to having a much more relaxed and calm demeanor. Then I'll ask them, because that's one side. We can't pop one without popping the other. Otherwise, they'll keep comparing. And comparisons are one of the greatest ways to have symptoms in your body, whether it's depression, anxiety, bipolar, post-traumatic stress disorder, anything at all. It's got to have comparisons in there. So I'll ask them about their perceived negative, and I'll say, what's the benefits of that occurring? And I say, well, actually, it's teaching me to become resilient. It's teaching me to actually grow and evolve. It's teaching me to manage my finances and be frugal and organize that with my wife. And we stack those up. And as we do both, all of a sudden, they end up in a state of presence, a specific moment where they just pop. And as they pop, I'll look at them and they'll get present. And I'll say, so how do you feel about losing your job? And they'll just go, it has benefits and drawbacks. I feel really great about this. What do you feel like doing now? And instantaneously, because the last 2 years I've been doing this with a lot of clients, I'll say, I've got a few action steps that I want to do to prepare myself for either outcome so I can make sure that I'm prepared for both. And other than that, they start doing what they love. Because the minute they start actually answering the symptomology that they'd had that was occupying time and space in their mind, they realize that their body's working perfectly fine. It was giving them a feedback. They address the feedback. They go back to a state of level of presence. So it's about learning how to see the benefits and the drawbacks. And the wisest way to do that is get a sheet of paper, get clear on what you're exaggerating the positive and the negative in, write the seven areas of life, physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. And then get crystal clear on what the benefits are of your perceived drawbacks, the drawbacks of UPC benefits, you don't stop until you can see both are 100% neutral. Once you hit that point, you'll have a state of presence, grace, gratitude, appreciation, and your symptoms will dissipate and dissolve. Seen that in thousands of clients for the last 11 years.
Wow, that's very powerful, because I know when I had my anxiety attack not that long ago, it was on the same thing. Like, it was about work, it was about financials, what's the economy doing? And it was just such a horrible feeling. And I started journaling, and I looked at the positive. You know, it's making me look at myself, and it's calmed me down. And I've taken a better look at financials, and I've taken a look at what I really want to do. And once I finished that exercise, it was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, I spoke about this on a podcast as soon as COVID happened. And I said, this is a feedback mechanism to let you know where you're realistically at in your life. It's going to get rid of any fantasies or delusions that you had within all seven areas, specifically finances. And there are some of my students and clients that are in my level 3 program, where we go into a program called Life Mastery. We talk about finances, and I had a student that was 25. He was addicted to ice. He was very much the polar opposite of anything that involved organization within his life. But through the different levels, he started to organize his life more, organize his emotions more, organize his perceptions. And he started to bring mastery to all seven areas. One of those areas in finances, I had some sheets that had great recommendations from people that had accumulated great wealth. And one of them was to set up a bank account that is for a future stock market crash, or a crash, something that as you accumulate funds, once those really big lows occur, you've just got a plethora of money and you've been doing your research for years so that you can place them into the correct places. Well, he happened to have been, he called it a zombie apocalypse account. And for 3 years, because he's worked with me for about 5 years now, he said, the zombie apocalypse account is now in 50,000. It's now in 70,000. He just kept giving me these numbers. And he said, no zombie apocalypse, but it's accumulating interest. When COVID happened and the stock markets crashed, and he also deals with Bitcoin, which he'd been very successful with, he called me immediately and said, I just can't believe, I want to give you a hug. He goes, the zombie apocalypse account is finally going to be utilized, and I know exactly where I'm going to organize that money. And he did. And he'd already accumulated over $100,000 by organizing his finances within that. But now he had an opportunity to really double and triple what it was that he made. So for those that at the start of COVID realized all of these feedbacks, the key was to address those feedbacks and see how you can grow and evolve, because there was always money to be made. Money is always transferred from those with the highest to the least values. Whenever you fulfill and serve people's values, you get a reward in exchange of financial income. The more people you serve, the greater the need in humanity, the more financial potential you have. So there was never a lack of money. It was learning how you could take what it is that you have and serve a greater audience. It was just in a different way during the COVID period.
Absolutely. So we're going to start tying this up. Do you have any final words that you'd like to share with the audience today?
Yes, I do. COVID is an interesting period in which I've noticed this within my consulting practice. A lot of things are changing so quickly that you need to be on your toes and be resilient. So the one thing I'd say is resilience is one of the number one things that you can do to reduce stress. And resilience only occurs to the degree in which you can see the pairs of opposites and bring them into balance. The faster you can see the pairs of opposites, the greater the degree of resilience. The slower you take to see the pair of opposites, the less you have in terms of resilience. So I invite everybody not only to come and touch base and say hello for a virtual coffee, but to read some fantastic books by my mentor, Dr. John DeMartini, such as The Breakthrough Experience, which is a great book talking about breaking through your most challenging situations within your life and using those, are perceived as huge stressings, and turning them into inspired blessings, going and actually tackling the things that occupy time and space in your mind and opening your heart to a greater level of change and evolving. A book called The Values Factor, also by Dr. John DeMartini, talking about what most inspires you, your greatest inner vision, how you can maximize your human potential. Because when you do what you love and love what you do, you have energy and vitality for days. But obviously, when you do things that you dislike and despise, 5 minutes can feel like 5 hours. So you procrastinate, hesitate, frustrate. So this is talking about optimizing your human potential within that. And Destiny Inspired, which is an add-on on top of that, talking about how you can give yourself permission to play a bigger game within life and do what you love. Because every human being on planet Earth, you're here to do something unique and different. And there is nobody else that's here to do that. So if you don't awaken that and share that with humanity, then nobody gets to see it. It's a one-time offer. So that's an add-on. I do all of those things within my consulting one-on-one, but they're fantastic starting points for people that may not feel that they, you know, are comfortable to connect yet.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And for someone that wants to contact him, I will put all the information there and take advantage of the free discovery call that he's offering. So thank you very much for your time today. Much appreciated. And you know what? I think it's the perfect timing to have something like this on my podcast because we are going through a really hard time. Uncertain times does bring anxiety. So I hope everybody enjoyed this episode on anxiety. And thank you very much, Emmanuel.
Thank you very much for having me. And don't forget, guys, the further down and out you feel, the further in and free you're about to go. So I hope this podcast shares some light with you wherever you are globally and helps you reflect on how whatever you're going through is not in the way, it's on the way. And you're about to, just like a caterpillar, turn into a butterfly.
Lovely. Well, until next time. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.